Right now, though, it is time to bring in Dr. Judy Werpman. It's time for Food for Mood. Judy is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com, also author of Simon Loses His Tummy, and her latest book, Before Her Voice Was Still. Watch out for those iguanas there, Dr. Werpman.
Good morning. Actually, it has the cold may have a positive effect on the environment because the Everglades, as many people know already, are inundated with pythons. And this, presumably, the very cold air that we've been experiencing the last couple of days may do something to possibly freeze them out of existence because they have been devastating the wildlife in the Everglades. There are no natural enemies, as you might imagine, except man. And people don't go around shooting pythons except one time a year. Anyway, so that is one positive effect of the cold temperatures.
All right.
Now that one has more information that you really want to know about.
That's right. Now we know what to do. Now I think it's the more that people dribble out little things, like, all right, the Everglades doesn't sound, it's just doesn't sound that big. It's just like, well, it's the Everglades.
And no, but it occupies, you know, like, what, a third of Florida or something.
Something like that. You know, and it's just, it's really good since the universe is essentially a 2.5 by 6, whatever, a device to remind people that, yeah, one third of Florida, which, by the way, isn't that tiny thing on the weather map, is, yeah, swamp. Yeah, the Everglades. Yeah, hey. Pythons.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, back to more on Monday.
Back to smoking.
And this is something, Jill, I rarely talk about, I'm talking about smoking, I rarely talk about it because, you know, on the one hand, you know, it's possible to sort of convince oneself that, oh, it's just, it's really gone down. If you live among, people who don't smoke, you sort of forget that there are people who do smoke, especially since, you know, you don't see smokers in restaurants anymore or any kind of inside public place. And so it's possible to sort of think, oh, well, people aren't smoking. But, of course, they still are, and the vaping has not replaced, cigarette smoking, which is still a major, major problem in terms of being a total health risk. And as you know, there are so many interventions now that have been tried for decades. You know, behavioral interventions, drugs, nicotine patch, and nicotine gum, and now of course the vaping has been used as a substitute for many people to try to get them to stop smoking, although it may have the opposite effect for non-smokers. But anyway, there's a study that was reported recently that suggested that maybe we don't understand, probably it's true, we don't understand why people reach for cigarettes, especially when they haven't been smoking sometimes for a couple of decades. And it was an article that appeared in a well-known journal, and then was reported in many news clips, that people who are exposed to a sad situation, if they are smokers or if they have relapsed or, started to relapse, if they're exposed to a very sad situation, that is maybe a very potent trigger to get people to start smoking again, or if they already are smoking, to have them actually smoke with more intensity. That is, for example, take more puffs per minute. And it was a study that was done sort of very cleverly. It asked smokers to watch different videos, and one video had sort of what we'd call a sort of a neutral content to it. I think it was a video about Denali National Park. And, another video was sort of very disgusting. It had shown people cleaning a very uncomfortably dirty, filthy toilet, really just horribly disgusting. And the other video had was shown a father grieving over the death of his son, a video that might cause many of us to feel extremely sad at the way it was presented and in general. What the people found was that the people who were exposed to the disgusting situation or the neutral situation really did not alter their craving for cigarettes, or when they were actually given a cigarette, really wanting to smoke with any kind of intensity, like inhaling more, puffing more. But when they were exposed to the sad video, it really did stimulate their need for a cigarette and their actual smoking. And this sort of ties in with what's been found about the need for nicotine among people with mental illness. Although, and this is a study that came from England, people in general, in the general population, have decreased smoking significantly. If you look among people who are suffering from mental illness, there's really no change at all. And it's really even true oftentimes of psychiatric hospitals that even though hospitals forbid smoking, people in psychiatric hospitals are allowed to smoke. I mean, they may not smoke inside, but it is considered something that could help their mood. And, you know, I think that one of the problems with all these various studies is that nobody really knows what happens after these people smoke. There was a very confusing study in which medical students who never smoked at all, both men and women, were, again, exposed to a stressful situation. They had to get. I can relate to this. They were asked to do a lot of sort of paper and pencil tests or computerized tests that were timed, and some of them may have been math tests, and others were tests in which they really were going to fail. And it was it was set up to be very stressful. And then they were given access to nicotine, to cigarettes, and the women found that their stress decreased after they smoked, but the men became hostile and argumentative and stubborn and very nasty after they had access to the cigarettes. Nobody understood this.
More like a steroid?
Pardon?
More like a steroid?
Yeah, maybe. Again, that's it really. Then they had other a situation where men were asked to keep a diary of how they felt after they smoked. They were smokers, and they would go home and smoke in the evening because they were only home. They weren't prevented from smoking, and they all said that after they smoked, they felt worse. So what is that all about? And so I'm reading all this, and I said, I'm sort of an outsider to this because I've never been a smoker, never been around smokers, so I don't see this, you know, on a personal level. But I don't think we don't really understand really what drives people to smoke and after many years of not smoking, take it up again. You really don't understand the range of emotions people can feel or not feel after smoking. And I think this must tie into the failure of many programs to get people to stop smoking. Because, you know, all these behavioral programs, you know, are just based on, you know, not smoking, eliminating the triggers like a cup of coffee or alcohol, you know, that may cause you to smoke or being around other smokers. But, you know, do we really understand the sort of more, you know, subtle reasons why people feel a need to have a cigarette and what might promote them to doing it, like sadness, that we might have overlooked?
No, it's also the same thing. We're going to run out of time, unfortunately, but it's also the same thing with mood, you know, not just smoking. It's do we look at the triggers or do we just say, hey, eat,
Exactly. So. I was thinking of that we do exactly the same thing, except smoking is easier to measure and people more willing to go into studies and have their behavior measured. But you're absolutely right, Jill. That's exactly what occurred to me. If we knew what the sadness also caused people to reach for cookies,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Then the same. It's the same comfort.
I know.
To be continued, Dr. Judy Wortman.
Good enough. Bye-bye.
Food for mood.
Of course, you can hear Judy Wortman here on Robin Hood Radio on Thursday mornings and also at robinhoodradio.com on demand.